throw all this away. We'll lay it over here at the side. I'm gonna give you a little heads up on what my story that I'll be reading out of the Bible today. And first thing I want to just introduce you to the Bible and what I think about this book. I believe every word in this book. I know man wrote it, but I know who inspired them to write it. We're going to learn today in a story out of the Bible, and I know we live in a world today that's so uncertain about our things, but we're going to learn today that our God is in control. And us as Christians really don't have much to worry about. Okay. If we just give it to Him. God has the power. I put on Facebook, not because I wanted to put on Facebook, but because God wanted me to put on Facebook, that I was going to give my testimony this morning. And He gave me a little something that John Wesley quoted. And for the ones that's not into Methodism, John Wesley is the one that founded the Methodist Church. And this is what he said. He said, if you're on fire for the Lord and you show that you are excited about it, that people will come from miles around to watch you burn. Well, that could be looked at fleshly or spiritually, okay? And I hope, because there's a lot of people that's in here this morning that come to watch me burn. And I'm glad. And I know you're here spiritually for me to burn. Because I'm on fire for the Lord. The world calls me radical. I don't feel like I'm radical. I am excited, okay? I am so excited of serving the Lord and how He works in my life. From where I come from to where I'm at today. And don't get me wrong now, I'm not preaching perfect here by no means, okay? Because I do wrong every day. But I'm talking about where I come from, how I allowed Satan to try to sabotage my life at a very young age. See, when I went to school, I can assure you one thing. I was not voted on to be the most popularest person to succeed. Okay? I won't. Matter of fact, I remember in the sixth grade, I had this cute little old teacher, and her name was Miss Swanson. A lot of y'all in here remember her, okay? She gave me this one thing. She said, Ricky, if you'll do this one thing this year, I will pass you. She'd already heard about me. And so she'd already come up with her strategy to handle me. Okay? I was probably not the best person in Lafayette School to handle. So she said, Ricky, if you will learn the Gettysburg Address, you're passed. That's all you got to do all year, boy. Now, I was about at my wit's end because me in school just didn't, I couldn't learn. I just couldn't. I tried. I really tried hard, and a lot of people, students, friends of mine, tried to help. And I couldn't learn. But I really set my mind that I was going to learn this Gettysburg Address. And I tried 2/3 of the way through that year to learn it. I even got up several times in front of the class saying, if I just put a little more pressure on myself, that maybe I can get it. Well, guess what, folks? Never did learn the Gettysburg Address. So I won't be quoting it for you this morning. Okay? I never got over halfway through it. And I give up that year. I was done with school. Satan had won. This voice in my head had been telling me, trash it, boy, you won't never get it. And believe me, I believed it. I done proved it. So I had to go to court in front of the judge because I missed too many days of school. Matter of fact, my principal told me, he said, Ricky, he said, you're lying on your notes that you're getting to get out of school. I said, how you figure that? He said, there ain't that much picking corn in Harnett County. I hadn't calculated that up because I wasn't real good at mathematics. Matter of fact, the day that I got up out of the class and walked out of that school, I could not read, I could not write, and I could not do arithmetic. And when I left school that day, I don't know what went on in that classroom, but I feel sure that I got voted that day less likely to succeed in life, more than likely, because I had been to other people before me. I'd heard what the teachers used them for in examples, and I never really thought about being used an example till I started this lesson here today. Never really thought about it. 56 years old, didn't really cross my mind that I was probably voted less likely to succeed in life. So when you've lived a life for the majority of your life, maintaining and not really succeeding, and you do turn your life over to the Lord and you start seeing what you've been missing, and what he could do for you, I got real excited, okay? I really did. I got real excited. So I learned that God don't use, you know, God could use anybody he wanted to. Them holy angels that cried when he left heaven and come down here, all he had to do was speak to them angels and say, hey, I need y'all to get y'all and straighten them folks out on earth, okay? And they would have went and done it. I mean, they had the power to do it. But he didn't do that. He chose people like me and you. He just chooses ordinary people. So my lesson today is about being on fire for the Lord. People that he chose, each and every one of us. He gave us a job. It's our job to find out what our job is. I know one of my callings is ministering to people that's lost their children. Okay? Boy, that was a hard one. Okay? But I had to go through what I had to go through to learn what I needed to do because, hey, if you think we live in a world that our politicians are telling us it's getting better and better, you might better look around you, okay? But us being Christians, we're going to learn today that he's in control. And it is going to be okay. It just ain't going to be okay on this earth. But it is going to be in the next one. So my lesson today is in 1 Samuel chapter 5. And I'm just going to read it to you. Because he changed it up, I'm just going to hit a few high spots on it because I promised Miss Billy we'd be out at 12 o'clock. But I'm a sinner, Miss Billy, okay? I'm a sinner. But I'm out of time already, almost out of time already, okay? But you can forgive me and cook me another meal some other time. Verse 1, chapter 5, the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it to Ebenezer and to Ashdod. Now, the Philistines was at war with the Israelites. And evidently, they were winning this war because what they have done, they have went in and took the ark of God from them. And said, you know, like the boy on the playground, you know, that beats up the little boy and says, hey, I got your toy. So they went and got the Israelites' toy. But what they didn't know, because they were very ignorant of it, is they had got their hands on something that they couldn't handle. The ark of God represented, first of all, it was a holy piece of furniture, okay? That's what it was. But what it represented was the golden pot that was full of manna. Manna is angel food. It symbolized God feeding his children for 40 years in the desert, supernaturally fed them every day. It symbolized Aaron's rod, which was a symbolization of power that only God could take something dead and make it alive. Kind of like I was in school. I was pretty well dead. But now he's made me alive. And then it symbolized the law of God, the power. So what they did, verse 2, when the Philistines took the ark of God and they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. Now what these folks have done is they have took the ark of God and they went and set it beside their God. And what we're going to learn now is when you take a worldly God, not a really live God, and put it up against the God, you're setting yourself up for a disaster, okay? So, verse 3. And Ashdod, and when they arose early in the morning, and behold, the dragon had fallen upon his face. In other words, their God had fallen upon their face, sitting beside our God, the God that we serve. He has fallen down, and he can't get up. Verse 4. And when they arose earlier, they set him back up, in other words. And the next morning, they went in, and they rose early in the morning, and they went in. And Dagon had fallen on his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord, and his head and both his hands were broken off. Well, not only can he not get up now, they're going to have to bring the cleaning crew in. Okay, they're going to have to sweep up the parts of their God. In other words, what we're learning here in a very short manner is that when we try to mix worldly things with godly things, it don't work. It didn't work back then, and guess what? It ain't working today. So now they've swept up all the parts and they've done all that, and you know, these people that are doing this, they ain't real smart. So what they do now is they take this ark and they move it to, you know, people started dying. That's what happened. So when they started dying, they moved it to this other town. And when they got it there, them people started dying. And then they moved it like to three or four different towns. And every town they moved it to, people started dying. Well, they got to thinking. These leaders, they got to thinking. They said, we might not ought not have this thing, okay? We really might not ought to have this ark of God. So they decided that they were going to send it back where it come from. But they really wanted to know whether these were just coincidences or was this really about Israel's God. So what they decided they would do, and I know if y'all seen the name of this sermon, it's cowology, okay? If Melinda was up here doing this, it would probably be theology, okay? But out of this message, I'm going to talk about cowology, okay? We're going to learn something about cows today, okay? So what they decided they were going to do is that they were going to build this ark. They were going to build this cart, and they were going to put the ark on it, and they were going to send it back to where it come from. And so that they would know whether it was just by coincidence or by Israel's God, what they were going to do is they were going to take two cows, Betsy and Beulah. Okay, that's the name of them. Beulah, I just come up with. Betsy happened to be my cow when I was a little fella. Okay. So they took two cows, milk cows. The Bible says they were milk cows. Now, you know, kind of like a while ago, I didn't get voted in as most likely to succeed. Well, when it comes to cows, you know, we got Black Angus, we got Red Angus, we got Hertfords. Milk cows is not the most popular cow, okay? I mean, think about a cow, you know, especially a milk cow. A milk cow has to get up in the morning. He eats. He gets milk. She gets milk. She goes out to pasture. She eats some more. She comes back in that afternoon. She gets milk again. She goes to sleep. She gets up the next morning. She gets milk again. She goes out and eats. She comes back. Pretty simple life, okay? Pretty simple life, except for these two cows, okay? Because now these two cows had never, ever been out of the pasture. All they'd ever done, they had never, you know, some cows pulled carts. They made sure that they got two cows that never pulled anything. They never done nothing but got milked, okay? So when they went out there to pick out these two cows to do this, you know, they probably had, you know, some cows are smarter than other cows, but they really wanted to know whether it was by coincidence or was it Israel's God that was doing this. So, you know, if they had two cows that was all, you know how cows are stubborn and you try to get them to go somewhere and they turn around and act like they're going to kick you. Or some of them even kick at you. You know, they might have got the two most stubbornest cows they could find. Maybe. Okay, we don't really know. The Bible don't tell us that. But they did that because they wanted to know whether it was by coincidence or was it by Israel's God. So we're going to pick this up in chapter 6, verse 10. And the men did so, and took two milk kine, and tied them to the cart, and shut up their calves at home. And they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart, and the coffer of the white mice, and the gold, and the images of the Emrons. And the kine took the straight way to the way to Bezmath, which was back home, and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and turned not to the side, to the right, nor to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them into the border of Bezmath, and they at Bezmath were reaping their wheat and harvest in the valley, and they lifted up their eyes, and they saw the ark, and they rejoiced. And what we learn right there is, us as Christians, where we're doing everything right or not, or we're winning the war, where it seems like we're winning this war, and somebody is trying to take our Jesus away from us and our God away from us, this says he can't do it. Because he'll come back on his own, okay? If he has to put them up to building a cart and hook into two cows that ain't never pulled nothing, our God is with us all the time, and nobody else can't do anything about it. That sounds real good, end of story, let's go home, let's go eat, Miss Billy. But that's not the end, okay? Because, see, there's a nature problem here, okay? You know, we all have a sinful nature. And these cows had a nature. But these cows, and I'm here to recruit cows for Christians and Christians for cows today, okay? I'm here to let you know, no matter how your childhood was or anything else you've ever done in your life, that when you connect to the ark, when you connect to God's cart, you can go anywhere and do anything. You can even get up here in front of people and do what I'm doing. If Ricky Temple can do it, there ain't a soul out there that can't do it, okay? Because I tell you what I can do. I can read this word because I ask him, and he can give me some cowology, okay? Because we fixing to learn about these cows now. We know that these cows never pulled nothing. They never done. Look, they didn't have no farmer sitting there saying, come on, hey, come on, gee-haw. I've hitched up buggies to horses before that ain't never been hitched up. That's a fun ride, okay? That's a fun ride. You'll get to know real quick whether you got a tore-up cart or not, okay? But it says right here that the milk cows, took the straight way. They went along the highway, lowing as they went, turning not to the left nor to the right. That means they took a straight path. Well, that's number one thing. Cow's nature is not to turn, not to go straight. If you go to a cow barn has always got a slight turn in it. Because when they run them cows in, and the cows like to turn to the right. When you run them cows in, all the bidders are sitting behind the cows when they come in. The auctioneer is all he sees, and he's making a round turn because that cow thinks he's going right back where he come from. So cows don't walk straight lines. Here's something else cows don't do. Cows, they got two bellies, okay? They like to eat. It was 20 miles from where they started to where they went. Now, you got to understand, won't nobody guiding these cows. They didn't have no GPSs. They didn't have none of these things. They weren't in no fence. They were just, hey, hit them on the tail, and they took off. Green grass on both sides of the road, and they didn't stop. You reckon them Philistines that were going along behind them, figuring out, hey, boy, this right here might be Israel's God. But they still weren't real sure, so they done one more thing. Here's another thing that's against cow's nature. You know, they were singing. They were lowing as they went. They were singing. They weren't singing glory hallelujah, okay? Because cows don't sing. And neither do they just beller unless they're hurt or you took their calves away from them. Remember the scripture said that they shut their calves up and left them at home? Well, I'm going to tell you a little quick story. When I was about 7, 8 years old, Betsy was our milk cow, okay? And she had a little calf. And when that calf come out, Ricky being who he was, said, that's my calf, okay? So I got up the next morning right after that calf had been born that afternoon. I got up the next morning, I said, I'm going to see my calf. So I bounce on down there, boy, and that calf standing over there on the side of that stall, and there's mama, you know. And I go over there, and I start just playing with my calf and everything else. Now, look, me and that milk cow have been good friends for a right good while, okay, 6, 7 years anyway, okay, because we had her when I was born. Now, here's what happened. That cow that I liked so much picked me up right between my groin. And I rode that cow at her expense outside that door. And as I was riding, She was making sure I didn't fall back, because the more I tried to fall back, the faster she got. And when she got outside, she took that nose and she chunked me about 25 feet. I looked in that cow's eyes as I was going out. I didn't see no love, okay? None whatsoever. If I ever learn a lesson that day, I learned that you don't get between a cow and a calf, okay? It don't work good for you, okay? I was broke from messing with that calf. I didn't mess with that calf no more. So here them two cows are going down the road, bellowing. They were crying for their babies, but they still went straight. They didn't turn to the left. They didn't turn to the right. They were hooked to our Almighty God. He was riding on the back. He was telling them where to go. And you know, I'm not real smart, but here's one thing God told me. He said, Ricky, when you're reading a story about mine and you really want to know where it's right or not, you got to ask one question. You got to ask yourself one question. Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? Ain't that right, Miss Billy? Where's the lamb? And I said, well, you know, this is a good story. I like it. I really was excited about getting up here and telling this story about these cows today. I was looking at the lamb. Verse 13 tells you about the lamb. Them cows, they run right up to them people, and they stopped on a rock. We know who the rock is. And then they was offered up as a sacrifice. Yeah, people. Them cows was connected to God's cart. And that's a good example for us to be connected to God's cart. And I got to thinking about this thing. I was asked to come and give this story at the time that Miss Iris died. And every time I started working on this thing, Miss Iris came to my mind and my heart. Man, I was thinking, I said, you know, Miss Iris, for 67 and a half years, she played that piano over there, okay? I said, wow. You know, Jesus promised us, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back and I'm going to take you. If it weren't so, I wouldn't tell you. Well, you know, Jesus came and got Miss Iris. And I'm sitting there thinking, I said, I know he said, you wonderful, grateful servant. I appreciate you playing that piano in my music for 67 and a half years. But then, no. You know, that's just how long she played, okay? She had to prepare. You know, she probably started as a little bitty girl, okay? She probably got hooked to that cart when she was 6 or 7 years old. She probably started banging on the piano. I don't know how many pianos she's wore out. I can assure you that piano right there wasn't the first one she played in this church, okay? We got one back yonder, we got one out yonder, and I mean, you know, she probably wore out some pianos here. But it wasn't just her 67 years. It was her whole life that she went against her will and hooked herself to that cart, and she lived for her Lord and Savior all her life. And you know, I thank her for that. I really do. But it didn't stop there. I look at this congregation out here, and I look at the people that has come here day in and day out for many, many years. I look at my brother sitting right there that gets up and comes up here every once in a while, and he sings Jesus Loves Me like it's never been sung before. touches my heart every time you do it, brother. I look at Mr. Cade that sits back there. I look at Ray. I look at Earl. I look at Curtis. You know, and all the rest of you. We got a rich church here, not in dollars, but in serving our Lord. Didn't say we did it perfect. Didn't say we did it right. But I look at the people that is hooked to that cart. There's a lot of us in here. Young people, middle-aged people. We need to look at our rocks. Because if you want to see Jesus, if you ain't heard about Jesus today, and you ain't heard him in a song, or you ain't heard him out of my voice, and you ain't seen him, I'm going to pick one person out of this church today. I honor you all, but I'm going to pick one person out of this church today that has been the biggest mentor in my life. Because every time I look in his eyes, I make sure I come to this church every Sunday I can to look in his eyes. Because when I look in his eyes, I don't see no flesh. I see Jesus Christ. That's who I see. I see Jesus Christ. And that's my brother, Bobby Hamilton. I honor him today to being that dedicated Christian that you've been all your life. I can remember, I tell you one thing, he was coaching some boys in ball, and they were all young, and they all wanted to do what he done, and he had two jaws of tobacco, okay? Well, I was a little bitty fella, and I went home and tried that, and it didn't work good for me, okay? I turned green. So I've watched him all my life. I've grown up watching him, seeing how he done. You know, another one that I avoided was Mr. Jones's wife. You know, I called her radical, okay? If you're one that knows her. But I look at her today as excited. She was excited about Jesus Christ. She was so excited. I just wished I could go back and just sit down and talk with her now, because I know I lost a lot. It was my loss, it wasn't hers. But you know, Mr. Bobby was just as loud as she is in them eyes, to be as quiet and humble as he is. Ladies, I ain't left y'all out, okay? Behind every good man stands a good woman, okay? So I don't want y'all to feel like that y'all, because y'all made them who they are today. Y'all were an influence in their life. And all I asked y'all today is if y'all would just go home, read this whole story, chapter 5 and 6. There's so many stories inside the stories about these cows. It's fascinating. All I was supposed to do today was try to get you interested in going home and reading it and getting hooked to that cart that God is in charge of. He's in charge of this earth. He's in charge of this whole universe. He is a mighty, mighty living God. And he does live. He does live. And we heard the song of preparation. Why he came here. I know there's hurting people in this church. I know the Bible don't tell stories. It don't tell lies. Satan wants you to believe that. Satan wants you to tell you, oh, it ain't nothing to that book. Don't worry about it. Okay? Don't believe nothing that boy said. He don't know what he's talking about. He ain't even got no education. Okay? And I really don't for the world. But I do for my Lord and Savior. I know that song I sing about that little baby. I really do. So I just asked you, the Bible tells us that we can know that we're saved. If there's anybody in this church today that just believes that they are 99% saved, I want you to know that you could be 100% lost. The Bible says, 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, I believe, that if you will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, believe that He came here and died on that cross, and His blood washes your sins away, that you may know that you are saved. Not no maybe, not no 99%, bless you, but that you may know that you are saved. Our altar is open for hurting people. You know, we can sit here and say, oh, we ain't hurting. We're hurting race, folks. We really are. This next song is my song, okay? But it could be yours too. As I open the altar for anybody that wants to come and just thank their God, their living God, that He does what He does for them. If you've got a problem, we got our number one fellow right here, Mr. Ray Bryant. He'll be glad to pray with you. There's a lot of Christians in here that'll come up and pray with you, for you. They are here to support you. They love you. There ain't no soul that comes to this church that wouldn't get up and give you their seat right now if you wanted it. I know them all. They love you. They have poured their love out all over me. I know that to be a fact. So as we listen to this song, and if you feel like the altar is open.
I stood in the courtroom, the judge turned my way. It looks like you're guilty, now what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor, I have no but that's when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in, pleaded my case. He called to the stand, God saving grace. The blood covered my sin, forgiven when mercy walked in. Well, I stood there and wondered, how could this be? Someone had just been set free. My chains were broken, I fell.